Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, as always, Tim Taylor.
It's not Erie Boyle, it's Era.
God. Luck of the Irish, dude. Disney Channel.
Okay, right. What a great accent to start this episode off with. By the way, I don't know when this began.
Nothing so good.
This had to have been like 5-6 weeks ago at this point. But we're getting a new accent every week. For those of you just tuning in, Tim has decided that he needs to do an accent as part of his character every week for the show.
I don't know if it's conscious. You know, it just happens.
It just takes over when your name is said.
It's channeled. Yeah. I tune in.
Yep.
Or as a different voice quickly. And then I'm here.
Tim, I almost made a mistake this week.
What is that?
So I almost made the mistake of losing to the Badger.
Whoa.
And we came down.
I don't know how much of that is in your hands, but yeah.
The mistake would have been inviting or allowing Badger to join our fantasy hockey league, because it just opened us both up to losing to him. And I feel like we're never going to hear the end of it if that's the case. But
oh god,
it came down to the wire today. We were tied, him and I.
Yeah.
Literally, we were tied to the point, to the decimal point. 218.1 we each had. And all of his guys had
point one to the decimal.
218.1. And I had Drew Doughty still going. With 3 minutes left in the third period of the game, all I needed was 0.1 to beat him. And Drew Doughty got me an empty net goal.
So that's incredible.
He
knew it was at stake.
He did, and I appreciate what he did for me. Drew Doughty, if you're listening, and we know that you are listening for sure.
That's why he did this. That's why he did that tonight. You. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew.
It didn't help me. I could use... I don't know. I don't even have a king on my team, so you're pretty useless to me. But thanks for what you did for Andrew this week. Pretty cool.
Yeah, how'd it go this week for you?
I got ESPN. And for those not familiar, if you've ever had an ESPN fantasy and you've set your lineups and then you've checked the next day to find that they weren't set from the mobile app, just two guys off the bench, so. I lost by 1 point to the decimal.
Yes.
191.8 to 190.8.
Oh, my God.
And there was two guys on the bench that day. When you texted me, you go, set your lineups. And I was immediately pissed because I knew what happened. Because I had set it yesterday, the day before. And I had Kachuk in there. And let's just say there was more than a point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Here, I have it in front of me. I can look. But, yeah, it does not feel good at all. Pretty frustrating.
I left the casual
11.4. So I win by 10.
Oh my god.
10 plus. Yeah. So Friday, December 1st, I got screwed. Shout out to ESPN for maintaining the worst fantasy app. But I'm a part of 5 fantasy teams and they're all on your platform. So really egg on my face, you know what I mean? Screw ESPN. I'm getting crushed in my basketball fantasy league. I start a basketball fan. I'm commissioner of one that I don't think I've made the playoffs once. I think I'm usually like a bottom three team. It's pretty sad. It feels like a make-a-wish thing that all my friends joined and play with me, and I'm like the kid they beat the shit out of. Even though this year, like, my draft was like I was supposed to be amazing. Not great, but football, you know, there's one league I'm going to the playoffs in a pretty commanding way, and another league I'm flirting with making it. And in that league, I lost Nick Chubb. So it's like, all right, let's see if we can do this. But I don't know, need a big night tomorrow night from some Jaguars. It's tough when you have I have two receivers of theirs, but I also have the running back, but they have Trevor Lawrence. So any passing touchdowns to those guys, I don't know. It gets a little tricky there. Then he also has Jamar Chase. She also has. She's got Jamar Chase and Trevor Lawrence. I've got Ridley, Engram, and Etienne, and I'm down four. Anyways, we're a hockey and basketball podcast. shout out to Mac Jones. Just
no, we're not doing that.
Feeling that warm bench all day. Just getting to fucking keep that nice big coat on. Enjoy it. A lot of weather today in the football games. Anyways, we are a basketball and hockey podcast. Tough week in my hockey fantasy. Moving forward, shout out to your bro, dude. That's scary. Scary numbers.
My brother's team, Connoria, for those of you who are following along, was over 300 points this week. That's pretty wild.
Have we seen that yet? And if so, it was definitely less than five times.
Yeah. And McDavid is finally coming around, and he's scoring, and I think that's what's really going to push him ahead in this league, because he's been struggling at the beginning of the year here. But Connoria, 305.8 points, more than me, but I won my week barely. I also would have beat Badger pretty bad if Panarin didn't have a hat trick today, so that was pretty wild.
Well, he did, and you beat him by a goal, which is still like what, four?
Also, I don't know who has Marchand, but we'll get into that in a little bit here.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. Let's get to the ice.
All right.
Good weekend for the boys on skates.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have complaints because I just do, but overall, I mean, two wins. That's what you want.
You sent me a dark text this week.
would you care to share what that text was?
I sure will. I wasn't just going to leave it at that and keep like just piss off all the listeners. Andrew texted me after, was it the third game of the skid?
Losing to Columbus, I believe it was.
Yeah. So we still had another loss to happen right after that, right?
No, well, yes. Yeah, so
what was the skid? It was Rangers,
Detroit.
It was Rangers, Red Wings.
Yep.
And Columbus, right? Andrew texts me after the Columbus game and says, I'm worried that this is maybe the team.
Let me,
I think, listen, I think that's the floor.
Yeah. Of
which
course.
Sucks and is them getting their ass kicked. But the team who showed up this weekend was, and I know what you're going to get into and everything, but even giving the point to Toronto, I don't know. I feel like you wouldn't. Do you feel that? Do you still feel like that? Any inkling of that text?
No. So when I had texted you that, basically what I felt was, I'm afraid that this is the team that everybody was expecting us to be. Because at the beginning of this year, we didn't know what to expect with no Bergeron, no Krejci. You know, we had a bunch of guys on one-year deals like JVR, and we have Patra in there trying to fill a gap that we didn't know if he was going to be able to do or not. So there were a lot of question marks of like, this team shouldn't be good. And then when we started playing the way that we started the season, everybody was like, we shouldn't be this good. And so my concern was, is this the actual team that is going to be out there on the ice long term? Because it's not like we just lost those games. I mean, if you guys listen to this podcast, then you probably follow the Bruins pretty closely. Like, we didn't just lose those games. We got blown out in basically all of those games. You know, to be able to...
I don't have any positive notes from any of those games.
Right.
Yeah.
To lose to a team like Columbus, who's at the bottom of the league, by whatever it was, three goals or, you know, that's not good. And we got blown out by the Rangers, who were a very, very good team. And that is what, you know, 7-4, I think it was the final, which... I don't think that score really showed how bad the game was. You know, we were turning.
How many penalty goals was that for them? Power play goals was that for them?
Enough. Like, that's been our biggest problem is trying to stay out of the box and cut down on the turnovers because a team like the Rangers is going to take advantage of that, and they did.
But do you think fixing that would solve it, or do you think that's just one of the issues? Like, we still even minus the, because you know, if you, I'm trying to get the exact number of how much it was, but the NHL app is not great. If you take away those four goals, obviously it's a win, right? 7-4, 4-3.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't think that's all of it, right?
No. But again, it was like, it wasn't just the penalties. It was the turnovers. And here's what I think are our biggest gaps at this point in the season. The penalties, which have been better the last two games. There were still some tonight, but it's been better. The defense has been just horrible. In this stretch of like poor play, the defense has been terrible. And
it was only one power play goal, by the way.
Yeah,
the shorthander was the other bad part.
That, yeah, and they had multiple breakaways.
I know we talked about that. We did cover that last week. I remember that now.
Yeah. So those are my biggest concerns. And the other thing that I've always, you know, I'll keep saying this because it bothers me so much, is allowing players to be in the crease and not pushing them out and not getting them out because they're getting these dirty goals that are right around the goaltender, who Swayman or Ullmark is making the initial save, and then they're not able to clear the puck out from in front of the net, and they just tuck it right in. You know, like, these are the ones that you have big guys like Carlo and McAvoy and Lindholm. They should not allow anyone to be in front of the net. Like, I get that that a player is going to park there, but, like, don't make it easy for him.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with some of those guys, something we haven't really allowed as much in the past. Like, what's different now? I don't get that.
I don't know, man.
I feel like we've cleared that. It's not like people never stood there before.
Right.
And like, a lot of these defenders would clear that out.
Something I do want to touch on, because I think it pertains to this, is something that Tortorella said a couple nights ago that a lot of people gave him a lot of heat for, but he's partially right. He's basically saying that we're in a no-hit league and players don't know how to take hits anymore. And that's why you're seeing these big, like, blow-up hits on guys like Hughes and some of the younger players in the league, because they're not ready to be hit because nobody is hitting anymore. So I think that everybody is shying away from the hits because they keep calling penalties on it. Even if it's a clean hit, they're calling penalties. They're throwing guys out of the game. A Flyers player the other night, Hathaway, actually, they gave him a 10-minute misconduct and threw him out of the game for a hit that wasn't boarding. They called it a boarding call, and it was very much not. And they're really trying to shy away from the aggressive side of the game and the physicality, and I think that that's bad because it's going to get players hurt because nobody is anticipating a hit anymore. So they're just getting ragdolled when they actually do get hit by a guy like Trouba or Mo Sider or someone that actually can hit. So it's a problem. Like, there's going to be injuries because of them not taking hits anymore, you know? So
right.
That's the one part of whatever he said that I agreed with, is that the league is clearly moving away from that, whether it's intentional or just, like, players are too afraid to get penalty calls. It's not really good for the game at all, I don't think.
No, I don't either. And what's interesting is, like, I feel like the fighting conversation kind of went away because they kind of realized, yeah, that's where we make money. Like, yeah, let them punch each other on the ice, like, whatever. Like, the cutting back on that, it was like, to like the movement of take that out of the game, I just feel is, like, a lot quieter now than maybe it was 3-7 within that range years ago. Is this, like, a weird secret way that they're getting away with dulling the violence of the game down? I say yes. Like, I don't know, it just feels calculated, and yeah, they are trying to soften the game. I mean, the fourth lines of 20, like, even the 2011 Cup team are, like, gone.
Yeah,
it feels like
you see a lot of guys now on the fourth line that you might see one kind of bruiser type, like Ryan Reeves or somebody like that, who's not getting a lot of minutes, but then it's mostly guys that have speed and that are younger, and like a Lauko on our team and Steen when he's in there. But, like, you see guys who have some skill that are really fast and that can, you know, knock people around a little bit, but it's not like Paye and Thornton and Campbell. Like, it's not that. It's just, it's so much different just in the span of 10 years. It's rare for there to be a heavy fourth line like that, you know?
Yeah. And like even the Bruins switched years ago. I mean, like, we haven't had a fourth line like that in like 4 years, maybe.
I think your closest one would have been like
longer.
Corrali, Achari, those kind of guys that were tough, but also could play. And that was, you know, a handful of years ago, three, four years ago at this point. So, but I loved that. I loved that fourth line in 2019. It was, you know, again, we don't have to get into 2019, but that was a perfect fourth line to me, where it was like guys that could play, that hustled and that were grinders and that you could root for, but still could be tough when necessary. But it's on the way out, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know. I hope we can kind of fix that. And I don't know. It's just to have a league where they're softening hitting, like legal hits are getting game misconducts. And, you know, we're not going to go down the whole crew a hit to the head again, but like Peros is Peros. Like, it's just like, it's so screwed up at the top.
Yeah.
Like, it's beyond Bettman now. And it's just like, they have like, I think the most attention that they've had, like the sport, I feel like, has the most attention it's had in a long time.
Yeah.
Like mainstream, in terms of mainstream relevance, like the diehards are always going to be diehards, whether it's on ESPN or not, it doesn't matter. But there's a bigger audience now. And I just think that there's so much potential to fumble the bag. And I just worry about that so much. I really do. Again, like it won't affect how I watch, but I think hockey's cooler when more people care.
Yeah.
And I also think like there's nothing in sports. Like I'll say it, like I watch more basketball. I'm a bigger basketball fan. There's nothing in sports better than playoff hockey. Nothing.
Right.
There's nothing. You can't convince me otherwise. That is just a fact. Like every playoff hockey game intensity is just unbelievable. It's the best thing in American sports. So yeah, it's with this like tinkering and like, obviously, like I think that is part of it. Like part of the softening is coming from that, but it's just like, wow, I don't know. I don't think you need to grow your appeal like that. The NFL is like, you know, they're doing it right. I feel like leading with the head out, you know, and I don't want to credit the NFL as an organization, but in terms of the rules for player safety, I think they're kind of starting to figure it out. But everything's so arbitrary and just completely up to just how someone's feeling in terms of discipline and what their relationship is with other players, because they were a pro not that long ago and there's guys they don't like and they were an asshole and they're a pro and they're kind of an asshole now.
Yeah.
Or just between officials on the ice. It's just so random, and there's no clear cut rule. And like the Hathaway thing, I haven't seen the hit, but it's just like, and I take your word for it. That's upsetting. That's like a non boarding call. So not only is it, he shouldn't have been in there for 2 minutes, it shouldn't have been a 5 minute game of misconduct. Like no form of it was boarding. Am I getting that correct?
So it was a hard hit, and maybe it was like a roughing penalty or whatever. Like he hit it, dude. I'm going to send this to you after. It was a good hit, but it was absolutely not boarding. Like he was a good enough distance away from the boards in order for it to not be. And I hate the Flyers. Two, I don't like agreeing with anything Torch says. And I'm not saying it because I like Hathaway or anything like that. Like I've watched enough hockey to know that this is not a boarding call. And I think that they got it wrong. And I think that maybe that's why he didn't get a suspension, because obviously, if you get a 10-minute and you're all this, you know, they end up looking into everything when it gets crazy like that. So, I don't know. I just, it was the wrong call, and I don't know if they agree or if they came to, they came out and said that it was the wrong call, but I don't know. I guess everyone can be the judge for themselves, but I thought it was kind of wild to make that type of call, and it just prove the point of, like, they're really trying to get away from physicality altogether in this league, and it's going to get rid of a lot. You know, there's a lot of good players, obviously, in college and in the minors and stuff, and I think that you're going to get rid of an entire breed of players that play physical and that aren't as skilled as everyone else by doing this. And it's just not how it started out as a sport, you know, and I don't think that that's the way it should go. But again, they only care about money, and if they think that the skill guys are going to be the ones that really bring the money in, then that's what they're going to go with. So I don't know. I'm not a fan, but we'll see. But if we're talking about skill guys, then we need to talk about Brad Marchand, because that's a skill guy if I've ever seen one.
Holy hell. you think he's pretty proud of that C on his chest? My God. I love him. I'm so happy. This is what I wanted. And I know there's a lot of people who weren't enjoying the idea of Brad Marchand as the captain, but I hope you at least respect the choice by now. He's been awesome. He's been awesome. You know, and there's some discipline stuff, but it's Brad being Brad. I didn't expect like a full maturity jump, but I don't think, you know, at this point, and I will knock on wood, because there's plenty of time for him to do some absolutely boneheaded shit. You know, at this point, like, I like him a lot. And to have the captain be the guy who's going to, you know, come to the defenses of other people and stuff like that is just like, you know, I'm loving it. And for me, like, towards other player, like other fans, like, this is the most hateable Bruins team in a way now. Because it's like, yeah, Pasta is very good, which is annoying, and I hate Brad Marchand more than anything.
You go into Toronto as Brad Marchand, the number one, like, you are the enemy. Like, you're number one on their list. You're not wanted.
You're not wanted. There's a bounty on your head.
Right, exactly. So
the head coach called out how disappointed he was in the lack of reaction to a hit that you made on their player last game you played.
Right.
And you're going into their den.
Yep.
Again, there is a probably Ryan Reeves bounty hunter after you to take you out. But Brad's going to be Brad instead. Unbelievable.
That's what I mean. Like, there is no better
the overtime
person.
Goal was just unbelievable. That play is hanging in the fucking Louvre. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Flattens the guy at center ice, gets down there, catches the deflection, puts it right on the doorstep and in the net. Cause the goaltender's just completely on Pasta.
Right. So I don't know if gorgeous. You saw the other shot too, but I'll send you this video as well. And if anyone hasn't seen it, I'll try to remember to post it tomorrow, but there's an angle basically looking up the ice, and Tavares and I forget who else was out there, Morgan Riley or somebody, they don't even make an attempt to get back into the play. Like, they don't make any attempt to skate down the ice and break up that play between Pasta and Marchand. And it just goes to show you, like, we hate Toronto, don't get me wrong. But, like, it goes to show you that they're not building a winning culture there. They're not buying in. They're not doing any of that. All of their salary is tied up between four or five players, or 75% of their salary, which is just not how you win. But it just shows you that they don't have what so many other teams have. Like, if your captain is not racing down the ice to attempt to make a play, to attempt to help you in a 3-on-3 overtime, that is a problem. If I'm watching that video as the head coach, I'm losing my mind, because it's embarrassing to not even try to get back. I can't even believe it. But it's Toronto, so I guess I do believe it, because it's just how they play and how they are. But it was wild. But yeah, I mean, to have Marchand score that goal is absolutely best case scenario if you're a Bruins fan, because
Andrew,
yeah,
I love it.
it's awesome.
I love it so much. Actually, last night, me, Brian Bartis, and Daniel were hanging out, and we just always get into the craziest sports discussions. And Daniel asked for a professional sports other league comp for Toronto. And at first we said Knicks, but like in a different way, because like the Knicks are definitely more endearing. But we landed on the Dallas Cowboys. And I think it's perfect.
Because they're like,
they're just like, they're just obnoxious. Like, because I was like, I have other teams that I hate, and they'll have like players that I admire. And I just love watching. I'm enjoying Bertuzzi failing over there.
Right.
Like, I love watching everyone fail in Toronto. Every time they get a cool player, I'm like, that guy is not cool anymore. That's how much I hate that team. And I just love that they're losers.
I think, but
like, the first round exits and like how much of a face. Brian said it, but I thought it was on the nose. I loved it. Yeah.
They're regular season champions too.
It's just like, it's like to a T in the last 20 years, the same franchises, and maybe beyond that, but like ultimately in the last like 20 years, it's the same franchise.
Yeah,
definitely in the last 10 to 15.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's and no matter what, like no matter what fashion you beat them in, it's just so, it's so good to beat them. It's so fun. I love it every time.
Yeah. No, it's awesome, and I know you were bummed to give up the point, but after where we're at on Monday night, and then to not be done with it yet.
But I'm glad you said that.
Turn it all around all week.
Yes, I am bummed to give them the point, right? But I'm more upset that we gave them the point with 4.5 seconds left. You know, all they need to do and all they've struggled with all year is to clear that zone in the last minute. It's like they're the worst possible thing. Like, I've said this to a couple people, like, they could not clear the zone if their life depended on it in the last minute of the game with the goalie pulled. It's happened so many times this year. It's a problem. But, you know, they got the 2 points that they went up there for, and it just is, it's not ideal to give Toronto any points, but you got your two, and that's basically the way you got to look at it, right? You know, it's, that was an unfortunate goal, but is what it is at this point.
You got double what they got ultimately, and that's what it is. Hey, the Sharks are looking pretty fed up, huh?
What do you mean?
Oh man, like two fights and just like I think they're over it. They're so sick of being such ass. They're just like scrappy and like kind of actually like today, just they went 6-5 with the Rangers today. You know, I don't know. I mean, they're not good.
They're officially last in the league now too.
When were they not? Who was worse?
I don't know. I feel like it's been pretty. Maybe I haven't been looking at it close enough, but I thought that Anaheim or Columbus was pretty bad. Also,
Anaheim did a quick streak, and then fell back down to earth.
So, they're tied actually with the same amount of points with Chicago.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's funny though is the difference in those teams and trajectory. Like, Chicago's not good now, but the promise of having Bedard versus the Sharks, who again, and I would put money on this, I think could lose to one if not several of the top AHL teams. They look
still
so bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like just like the Frederick fight, I'm glad the refs backed off of that. You know, like they came in to end it, and Freddie, you know, finally got on his feet, just to remember or really forget that the guy was southpaw, but then hold his own through the end of the fight. And then the Marchand scrum. Yeah, I don't know. It was a scrappy game. I just think those players are pretty fed up, and they're starting to score goals. They're not looking as pathetic as when, not only when we were up there, but when they were letting up like 8-1, 10-1 to numerous teams.
Yeah. Shout out to San Jose, though. That was a good time.
I know. I think of it fondly. I talk about it a good amount.
I can't wait to go back, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we just add it to the yearly trip.
Yeah. So before we switch over to talk about the Celtics in the in-season tournament, and I want you to tell me about Tatum getting tossed the other day. I wanted you to tell me a little bit about Ime and LeBron James's issue yesterday. We actually have a Badger call again. It's been a little bit, and I'm a little concerned to listen to this call because I don't know if he's chirping me about the matchup this week, but I think before we switch over, we should see what he's got to say, and then and then go from there.
All right. Now, we talked about this call before you played it.
This
call is 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and neither of us have listened to it.
Another reason why I'm a little concerned. He might be going off the walls this week.
I thought that was going to be the reason you're concerned.
I mean, it's both, but let's see. Let's see what we get.
But yeah, let's go.
Fellas, Badger here checking in. It's been a while, so first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to the both of you. Number two, I want to say, Tim, great job in that short. I got a chance to check it out on YouTube, Barry and his imaginary friend. Recommend it. Oh, you know, he did a great job, and you don't get to see that side of the year, so I'd check it out. Great job, Timothy.
That's very kind. Yeah.
Bruins, you know, they're playing well, but I think they say you usually understand what kind of team you have at Thanksgiving, and going through Thanksgiving, we ran into a tough stretch. Now, they turned it around against the Sharks, and they came out of Toronto last night with a big win. So I think if they keep it rolling here against Columbus, we'll be in good shape. But I certainly don't think
they're
team that the standings say they are. Right. I don't think they're a top of the league team.
Whoa.
I think to get there, we're going to need another goal scorer. We need to bulk up the defense somehow. We need to do something, because if we don't get incredible goalie play, you know, I don't think we're a team that's the top dog. So I think to get to that next level, we might need to add something. And I did kind of want to say, do you think Zaka's kind of been a little bit of a letdown this year? I mean, with the big year he had last year.
Absolutely.
He's kind of come out a little slow. I mean, he's not on DeBrusk's level, but I think we could get some more out of him. And then with the Celtics, what are we going to complain about, right? They're top dogs in the league. So not too much to say there. I guess my only concern is, are we going to start getting worried with these Jaylen Brown stretches? Because, you know, he gets into these funks where he is bad. You know, it's not like Jason Tatum where he has a bad game, but he can kind of fight his way through. It seems with Jaylen, when he goes down, you know, he falls down that rabbit hole. And then Porzingis' knee. Like I said, right when we got him, he's injury prone. He worries me. Are we going to get worried about this knee, or is he supposed to be back soon without a problem? But all right, guys, I'll talk to you soon. Love to hear what you have to say on the matter. Oh, and there is one more thing. We have the Nosebleed Faithful in an absolute rock fight against the Lynn homies. You know, it's never easy going up against the guy who created the league, who knows all the point systems.
Oh, come on, dude.
Wins,
wow. Hey, you do have a specified point system.
But I think we could still pull this one out in the 11th hour. But hey, we'll see what happens. He's got a good team. We'll see him in the playoffs if we don't get him here. All right, boys, I'll talk to you soon.
Wow. He had a lot to say this week. It's been so long that he had so much built up, I think.
Yeah, I wish we could do it in chunks, but I won't make people re-listen to it, so I'll try to do it in chunks.
Zaka, absolutely not a letdown. Just for the record.
No. I'll take more production.
Yeah, sure.
And I do think he's not at his ceiling. But I no. The next one, I very much appreciate the shout out again. That was very kind of him. About my short, we got out. It was released a week ago. Boring Barry and his imaginary friend on YouTube.
I watched it, loved it. Everybody, check it out.
Thank you. The best part about Porzingis's knee is that his calf is what's injured. I'm not that worried about his calf strain. To be honest, he's not playing in the in-season tournament tomorrow. I think it's a, you know, precautionary thing, and I like how long they're sitting him. I bench him till April is where I'm at. You know, don't actually. But, you know, if anything's not ready to go, then assess from there. If it was knee, I'd be more concerned. Calf strain happens. I don't think it's a part of how he's a 7'3" man who probably shouldn't be playing the sport physically, because it probably wears his body down much more than a shorter individual. But I don't know. I'm not worried. And obviously, like, I was the one who was ready to lead. No, don't rush him back at all. And a calf strain is just like, I haven't heard of that, like, ending a career. I don't know.
I mean, he made it sound like he was going to be back fairly soon. Did you see that interview with him? It was a couple games ago where he was like, he was dressed real nice, by the way, swagged out completely. And they made sure to mention it a couple times while talking with him. And they said, when do you expect to be back? And he said, soon. He said, it's probably not going to be the next game or the next couple games, but it's going to be soon. So, for me, that obviously makes it seem like it's not as scary as we initially thought it could have been, you know, because anytime we hear injury, we're like, oh, God, here we go, especially with his history. And I don't need him to play in the in-season tournament. Who cares?
Yeah.
Play him when he's healthy.
Also, let's call a spade here. People want to be like, oh, but I thought they cared about winning this. Obviously they care about winning this. Yeah. We saw what happened in Chicago. Like we saw how he did hack a Drummond. Like that was insane. When we were up 28 points, unbelievable. Like what we accomplished again in the in season was just like how you have to play those games. I think that's so interesting. By the way, I'm fully in on the in season tournament. Tomorrow we're up against a team we beat by 50.
Jesus.
A team we beat by 50 points. I think Indy's solid. I don't think we're automatically going to beat them by 50 again, even with Porzingis. But yeah. I don't think you need Porzingis in this game. Oh, I thought they cared about the in-season. Like, anyone saying that is just like...
They do.
Do you remember a month ago? We beat them by 50.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. So when, just because I'm ignorant to this whole in-season tournament thing, like when does this end?
I believe it's next Saturday.
Okay, so the finals and stuff, that'll be next weekend, or this upcoming weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So by the time we record, we'll have a crowned champion.
Do you think you're gonna be going out or no?
No, I was going to go to the Monday game, and then I realized I'm a moron, and that's in Indianapolis. And so I'm not close to Indianapolis, wasn't going to drive out. If it was 4 hours away, I might, but that court is brutal. I'm sorry we all have to watch on that floor tomorrow night in Indy. They have one of the worst in-season tournament floors by far. But yeah.
I've been there. I've been there once. I actually like their arena. It's pretty cool. It's nice. It's clean. It's in a cool spot. So, if you were making a trip for any reason, I would say have fun because I enjoyed it there. But not worth actually going to Indianapolis from LA.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I expect us to win even without Porzingis tomorrow. I want to shout out Pritchard. And his turnaround, but yeah, if you want Angry Tim, he's here. Angry Tim's here. If you want to talk about Friday night, it's not just the fantasy hockey thing anymore.
Let me talk to Angry Tim.
It's the Boston Celtics. All right, what the fuck was that? No Embiid, no Maxey. They started Patrick Beverley and Marcus Morris, who, shout out to Mook, I loved him in Boston. I always kind of wanted him to come back someday. He's pretty cooked now.
I really love you calling I really love Angry Tim calling him Patrick Beverley.
Patrick Pepev.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley. Who dropped 28 points on us. What an abysmal game. I went and watched with my buddy Tony Ascenda, who is a diehard Sixers fan. And I texted him before and I said, are we at a point where we can watch games this year yet? And he said, regular season? Of course. And like before I got over there, like we can't watch the playoffs together. And before I get over there, the news just starts dropping that we're basically playing their reserves. And we're in the first quarter and struggling. And I'm just like very early on, like, this is the game that like, cause Tony and I will each get very into the game. And so it's like two yelling guys for their teams. So it's like just intense. And like, so it's before we get there, it's like the, you know, they're out of it, kind of, you know, it feels like no Embiid, no Maxi, top two guys are out, and like they're a two-headed monster right now. The rest are very much support guys. They don't have like a third star, I would argue. First quarter, we're like struggling, and I'm like, this is the game we actually lose. We're going to blow this game. Tatum goes on to get ejected, which I thought was so weak. We just played horrible. I was horrified by that game. I hated it. I hated every second of it. We looked like dog shit. What was that?
Dude, I don't know. If you don't know, I don't know.
I have no idea. I like to think that it was just like everyone got drunk the night before and let's move on. But like, if they had those guys, would we have gotten crushed?
But I mean, you're saying all this, but we still won.
We did.
But you're just upset with the way that we won?
Yeah, it was a loss of a win.
Okay.
125 to 119. We finally pulled it out at the end, but I don't know. I hated that game. I think there was a lot of weird issues with that game. But yeah, to pull it out in the end without Tatum was good for this team. I really enjoy Drew Holiday on this team. I'll tell you that much. I'm a fan of that guy. I just think he'd, like they used to say about Marcus, it's, but he is in the the box score. But he does just like non-statistical things that just make the offense flow in ways that I think is really awesome. And obviously a lockdown defender. But yeah, I don't know. That game pissed me off. It sucked.
So just because, can you explain what the ejection was and why it happened?
It was a second technical, and to be honest, I missed the first. But a timeout was called after a bad call, or what Tatum thought was a bad call. If I remember correctly, I didn't really care for it either. He's like walking away and says something to the ref, and okay. that was it.
Okay.
He's literally walking the other direction. Doesn't seem aggressive or anything. I don't know. Would love to know what he said. But yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, that's
good win. Whatever. I guess this is how I am. I'm just mad about wins now.
Yeah, I mean, you seem very angry about a win, but
I just said he's here. I said he's here, and that's why.
I get it, dude. I understand. I'm mad with you. Okay, when you're mad, I'm mad. And this in this scenario, you are.
9-0 at home. Is that good?
I don't know. If we get some more wins, I'll let you know.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's. I guess it's good. I don't know if I would say it's amazing, you know? No, it's pretty good.
I just hope they come out swinging tomorrow night because, again, I know we beat this team by 50. But the Pacers are 10-8, and they're the one seed in this tournament. And there's a reason for that. And so you can't sit back. You got to come out and smack them in the head because they're going to come out and try to smack you. And I don't know if you guys, some people may just listen to this podcast and follow the Bruins. Some people may follow the Celtics and only the Celtics. Tyrese Halliburton is a baller. And I believe he was out for that game that we beat him by 50, 155 to 104 on November 1st. Good one. Tyrese Halliburton's a baller, man. And he's very fun to watch. So if anyone's looking to expand themselves or has league pass and doesn't know what teams to watch, Pacers are a fun team, mostly because of Tyrese Halliburton.
I mean, I appreciate, as a fan of sports, I appreciate you promoting the leagues in general to people who might not know.
Well, get league pass is what I'd say. Just for, honestly, for the timeouts and halftime show.
Yeah,
we're in the arena.
We've talked a lot
about Kiss Cam. Watching, they got to stop doing the reverse eating ones. I don't like that.
They're creepy. They're definitely creepy.
No one asked for that. I don't like watching people eat the normal way.
Yeah.
But you know, shout out to the dog on the ball. Shout out to the lady who flips the cups onto her head from the unicycle. There's some amazing. Shout out to the Denver mascot who never hits the behind the back shot. We talked about him at length a couple weeks ago. Yeah. You know, league pass. Not an advertiser of this program.
Not yet. So now that you're not going to the in-season tournament, do you think that you're going to be going to the Celtics game on Christmas Day?
It's still in the cards.
Nice. I like to hear that.
It's just more of a job issue, but
okay.
We're trying to figure out that job situation.
Yeah,
maybe. Because I feel like I kind of got to be there. You know?
I mean, it's just tough when they only go out there. You get basically one shot a year to see them, one shot per season, you know. And it's like you got to go. That's your team.
Yeah, it's my team.
It just kind of, it actually is kind of a bummer that they're playing them on Christmas this year, because it just makes it that much harder to be able to go. Like if it was some random Tuesday.
Well, for me, a guy who works as a bartender who's open on the holidays, it sucks. But for me, as a guy who doesn't have LA family and isn't a big holiday guy these days, I'm stoked about it. I have to go to that game.
Yeah,
I do. Like I have to go to that game. I love, the only thing I love about Christmas Day are the NBA games.
Yeah.
And to be at the best rivalry in NBA, arguably sports.
Yeah.
But like hands down the biggest rivalry in the NBA. Like it doesn't make sense for me to not be there. So I have to go one way or another. But yeah. It's gonna be a penny, but it's a penny very well spent. And I hope it's a bad game in favor of the Celtics, truly.
I agree.
I'm ready for that. I think our December's, I don't know. I'm feeling good. Obviously, I should be feeling good. I hated that game on Friday, but we're 15-4, dude. And first in the league.
Is that good?
I love when we get to decide what we're upset about. You know what I mean? Like, we get to decide that we're upset because we lost a certain way. You know, like as opposed to being upset that we're just horrible, and that is the real spoil. You know, we're spoiled right now in both sports here, and I just hope it continues this way. And I think that the Celtics obviously have that team that we talked about it earlier, and Badger mentioned it in his call too. It's like the Bruins have question marks, and the Bruins aren't supposed to be what they are right now on paper, right? But the Celtics are. The Celtics are supposed to be what they are on paper and what they're doing right now. This team should be going to the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals, like if we're being honest. This is the team to beat. And they're capable of getting to where they want to be, which is, of course, the championship. But, I mean, this is the team I feel less stressed about. There's obviously some things that we have problems with and that they need to improve on too, but they have the better team.
Coaching. Timeouts.
That's a major one, but I don't know, man. I feel good about the Celtics. I like the way that they're going, and I'm happy to watch them. Like there are times where I've been unhappy watching them, and now this year is not one of them. So.
Yeah. Pretty interesting December ahead, you know, with whatever comes of the in-season tournament. And then you got Cleveland back-to-back, Orlando back-to-back, who loves trying to annihilate us. Then the West Coast road trip begins. Golden State, Sacramento is going to be a tough game. Clippers, Lakers, back home for Detroit and Toronto and San Antonio. So an easy end to December, but right in the middle there. And maybe here at the beginning, depending again what happens tomorrow night, and if they continue on in the in-season tournament, those games are only going to get more competitive. Everyone in the tournament's solid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
No, sneaky. Like people joked about, like, oh, the team that's going to finish like 30th is going to win it. It doesn't look that way. Not necessarily the top teams of the power rankings, but. better teams are in it than not.
I think that's what makes it fun too.
Yeah, I mean, so it's Celtics, Pacers, Knicks, Bucks, you know, and then Lakers, Suns, and Kings, Pelicans. So just to me, that's eight playoff teams. I do think the Pacers will at least be a play-in tournament team. Right now, I think they're a playoff team. I believe they're like sixth or something in the standings. Yeah, sixth in the standings. Yeah, it's eight solid teams. No, there's no none of those sneaky bad teams got in. People care. These games have been good and competitive. I'm in on the tournament, and I want to win it.
Yeah, and I think that they're right that like, not the NBA, but people who have talked about this on the radio and things like that. I think it's going to get better every year if they continue to do it. I think more people will be more interested in it. I hope, because it is a cool concept. I know that we've talked a lot about it and a lot of the things that we don't like about it, and it was kind of, you know, felt like it was going to be a disaster, but it's turned out better than I originally anticipated or originally thought it would, and I think it has the potential to be really cool.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm stoked for tomorrow. Again, can't come out flat. They're going to be trying.
Yep. Go Seas. Hope they win it. I hope they at least advance. Because it would be pretty cool to see them do that. Be the first team to win it, you know?
Yeah.
Go Seas. Yeah. Go Bees.
Let's take that crown.
Bruins don't have another game until Thursday night, so we got a little bit of a break here. So I'll be watching
home?
The Celtics.
You going to be there?
Thursday, Saturday, both at home. Yep, we got Thursday against a team, and then Saturday against another team. Thursday is Buffalo, and Saturday is Arizona.
Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot there for a second, but.
Yeah, you did. Oh, it's a morning game on Saturday. All right. 10 a.m. for Timbo.
Yeah, 1 o'clock for me.
All right.
Looking forward to it. We haven't had a lot of 1 o'clocks this year. So we had one recently, but before that, I don't remember the last one that we had before that, but I like them.
Nice day to go get a Tuca special at Monica's.
It is. Usually my go-to, though, is like wake up, go get like a nice breakfast, and then go into the game. Like actually sit down and get breakfast somewhere. There's a spot in Wakefield that we love to go to, and then head into the game, and it's nice. Monica's would be an after game thing, but shout out Monica's, shout out the Tuca special, unbeatable.
Say less. I miss the North End every day of my life.
We'll get you back out here. We got to get you out here for one game this season.
You're going to get me out there for a week. I should try to plan a week where there's three games, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. It's great that at least you got to see a game or a couple games so far in the centennial season, but you got to get out here for a couple. So,
yeah. If Sully keeps winning the way he keeps winning, maybe he can just pay for me to live out there for the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Yes, I agree.
Hot-handed Sully. Hope everyone had the four touchdown parlay today in the 49ers-Eagles game that he had.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, that'll be fun. Good week for the Bees. Let's see. Keep the hot on. Let's see what happens with a little breather here, Andrew. We haven't had a four-day break in a minute. Yeah. And historically, we've never liked those. So let's see how they are with this team.
Yeah, I hope that they can use it to their advantage and, you know, take some time to rest. And they had they had back-to-back games there. So I know that it's really hard on me. You know, I could use a rest too. So I'm glad that I get 3 days off. And
Yeah.
Just kidding.
That's nice. Yes, yeah. The last thing of your agenda that you left at the top of the episode for me to touch on would be our beloved and gone far too soon Ime Udoka getting in a little chirp match with King James.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see LeBron's post game about this?
I did not.
So LeBron's asked at his locker, what were you guys talking about? And he goes, Thanksgiving.
Nice. I love that.
I loved it. And then the next question was, and I'm going to butcher this, but you've been ejected for dunking, something else like pretty menial, like maybe throwing a ball or something like a pass or something. You've been given a technical for dunking, whatever the second one was, and now talking to a head coach. Any comment on that? And he goes, he loved the question, obviously. Like, thank you for highlighting this. He goes, yeah, different. It's a different year, man. It's a different year this year. I don't know. Interesting little one. There was someone was filming who was those unbelievable seats that are between the check-in stand and the benches. I can't believe that the NBA put seats there. Still to this day, and it's been like 15 years. And on the video, I think he said he's something like, so he's soft as baby shit or something like that.
Yeah.
And LeBron was basically like, don't talk like that. You don't say that. Don't say that. Like, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't say that. And then Ime kept going, and the officials just standing right between them, and they're very calm. They're like not in each other's faces, but they are talking shit. And which, you know, we know Ime is a connoisseur in trash talk.
Right.
The ref heard enough. That was Ime's second technical of the night, so he was ejected. So, yeah, both Ime and Tatum ejected on two different technicals this week. But yeah, that was very interesting to watch. And even in the sideline video, it's hard to hear all of it. I really wish I could get clean audio. I was saying at the time, I was like, I'll pay $200 to hear that audio.
Right.
Like, I want to know everything they said. But yeah, shout out to Ime. He's cooking something down there in Houston. It might be a couple years away from really being a heartbreaker to everyone up here. But yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, with that, until next week, we will be back with another episode, hopefully talking about some more wins. And hopefully we can pull off the in-season tournament. That's the thing I'm looking forward to this week.
We'll know by next week. Hopefully we're celebrating.
Yep. Go Bees, go Seas.
And go Mac Jones.
Oh.